Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, this is Corey Thorpe back with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merch, the best in the business since 1974, whether it's your team on the field, on the football field, or whether it's your team in business, give them a call. They can get you outfitted just like they have done us here at NAIAF Ball. Man, it is it's a good night. We've got Coach Andrew Rohde on the podcast tonight. Coach, is it starting to warm up there, or is it still frigid?
Actually, it was we had like 2 weeks of 60s and 70s at the end of February, and now we're back in the like for the 40s, and it's hailing and it's snowing, and so we're kind of going backwards.
Yeah, that's not the right direction at all. Yeah, no.
No, but that's what happens when you start spring ball. It gets a little bit cold sometimes, but that's all right.
You gotta make sure you're prepped for it. I mean, you know, that gets you ready for the playoffs, right?
Exactly. We're working on playoff football right now in the end of March.
Hey, man, anytime you can do it and say, hey, it's going to be this cold when we host in late November. So looking back at your schedule, it's a really, really good year for Indiana Wesleyan this last season, including an early season win over Valparaiso. You avenge the loss from the season before. Talk about getting one on an FCS team there.
Man, it was an incredible game. So that was my first. So we had played Lawrence Tech the week before at Lawrence Tech, and then we came back and played Valparaiso the second week of the season. It was under the lights at our place. So that was my first home game at Indiana Wesleyan, and the atmosphere is unbelievable for home games at Indiana Wesleyan in general. But the fact that it was first game, I think there was a little bit of excitement about just kind of new program, new year. So the place was just packed. And then, to have the game that we had, and just it was a great battle back and forth. Valparaiso is a really good football team, really well coached by Coach Fox. But to have it come down to a two-point conversion, they go for it to win the game, we stop them, and that's how we end everything. It was just kind of a very surreal moment to start kind of the home game stretch that we had, especially as a first-time head coach. It was just really, really neat way to start things off, and I learned a lot about our team just in the fight that they've got and the way that they just battle through adversity, which, you know, as you fast forward into the rest of the season, you see that game after game after game after game in how they responded to challenging situations. And just really, really cool to have that be the first home opener. And the fact that it's an in-state FCS opponent, that certainly felt pretty good too.
The Cardiac Cats didn't just end there. The next week you travel over to Chicago and you play St. Xavier, who would be a playoff team, and you come away with a victory, with a interception, I believe, to seal the deal there. I tell you, you get an FCS team, you get who would be an eventual playoff team, and you've got to be feeling pretty good about what you've got in mid-September.
Sort of. I mean, we came out and we got after Lawrence Tech pretty good, but I think we just recognized they weren't really the team to beat in the conference. And then, you know, the Valpo game, Felt good about that in the same next game. Obviously, we felt great about the wins, but at the same time, it's like we're sneaking away with wins on both of those teams because both of them came down to two-point conversions. And you're right, I about had heart attacks in both of those games as a young coach. But man, it was. I think I felt really good about our team, like the culture and the team that we had and the fight that we had. I think I was just, we're still trying to work through new offense, trying to figure out who we had and what was going on. And I think at the St. X game was the first game we started to lose some of our receivers. And we didn't have the same receiving core from the Valpo game was the last time that group was healthy. And we didn't have them back healthy again, playing in back-to-back weeks until the Morningside and Georgetown game. So we spent the next like 8 weeks just trying to mix and match and figure out who we have and what we can do and what we can accomplish with the guys that we had in at that time. So I felt good about the culture. Was a little bit shaky on do we have enough juice in the offense to really make things happen. But I did know that our defense was elite at that time. They were really, really good.
And you go through and you have a very just a nice five-game stretch there between Roosevelt and St. Francis where your defense takes care of business, your offense takes care of business. And then you go play, you host Marion there, and the Cardiac Cats are back there for you. But you do end up winning, and it's a 42-40 game in a thriller. And I mean that Marion offense was definitely good last year, but you know you have to come back on that one with 21 fourth quarter points to get the win.
That was one of the most insane games I think I've ever been a part of in my life. I mean honestly, like I think back to those like Morningside Northwestern games in like what was it 20, 21, and 22, where it's like you're scoring 50 points in the game and you win like 50 to 47. It's just back and forth the whole game. I mean, that fell right into that world of games where it's just like, it's insane. But you think back to that game, we turned the ball over the first three drives of the game on offense. They scored every single time they got the ball. We gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown and a Hail Mary for a touchdown right before halftime. And then we didn't score a point in the third quarter, and our guys still managed to come back and believe enough to come back and win that game. And it kind of like you go back to those first two games, the St. X, the Valpo games, where guys just battled through all the way to the end, and they just kept fighting and kept fighting. And I think it was those games that I realized we had a really special culture. But, you know, obviously we needed to be able to score some points, and thankfully we got it done on offense. In the fourth quarter of that game, because you're right, my heart was beating. But man, Marion's, that's a good football team, but our guys just, they kept battling, and it was a very, very memorable win. I'll leave it at that.
Then, unfortunately, you end the regular season with a bad taste in your mouth. My friends at Concordia will remind me of certain locales in which Indiana Wesleyan has not won games, but... you know, talk about having to go into a bye week in the playoffs with a having taken that last loss in your last week of the season.
Yeah, that one hurt. I mean, it's tough to go 10-0. We had an opportunity. I think it's rare to even have an opportunity, and it's even rarer to finish out and go 10-0. So we had a chance, and you know, credit to Concordia. I think they looked at that as a playoff game and our guys didn't. And they showed up on senior day and their kids just, I mean, really they outplayed us in a lot of ways. And then offensively we kind of laid an egg. So it was a disappointing way to finish the season. And you know, we were again, a little bit banged up, but you know, still just trying to work through what we had and trying to figure some things out with the group of guys that we had out there. I think we had four receivers playing that, except Levi, that had hardly ever played a college football game in their lives. So that made it challenging, but we had to work through that and figure it out. And frankly, they just flat out beat us. So it was tough. But then, you know, walking into that bye week. I think it really kind of helped refocus us a little bit. And I think we pretty quickly figured out we're going to play Morningside. You know, even though the pairings didn't necessarily come out, it was just kind of that was the most practical game. And so being able to set our eyes on, hey, we're going to go play Morningside, and the challenge that that would be, I think our guys were excited to kind of get into the film and start working on things in preparation for that game, because that team is, it's a heck of a team.
I'll go into the question about the Morningside game with the same Star Wars quote I used with Steve Ryan. It was a little bit episode 4-ish there of Star Wars, where Darth Vader says, "When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master." And you,
I don't know about that.
He did the same thing, honestly.
Yeah.
But you host Morningside. Crap, that's got to be the first playoff game in a hot minute that Morningside has had to travel to, maybe since they played St. Francis in 2017, if my memory serves me correctly.
I mean, and if you think about the first time that they traveled as a first playoff game.
Yeah.
Like I know it was the second round technically, but sure. It's like kind of, that's the first round. I mean, when was the last time they traveled in the first round? Like never.
Yeah.
So,
but you get it done. It's a tight ball game. You score a touchdown there in the fourth quarter to eke it out after going down 14-7 in the first quarter. Talk to me about that game you know, that matchup with your former head coach.
I mean, I think it was an awesome game to be a part of. And I think, you know, when you look at how good of coaches, you know, Casey Jacobson and Steve Ryan and Turner and Schlichty and that whole crew of coaches, I mean, that team is unbelievably well coached. And so, and not only are they well coached, but just from a toughness standpoint, like those guys play hard and they hit. And I think it is, if not one of the smartest football teams that is in the NAI, and certainly that we've played all season long. It's a tremendous football team to play. And man, it just, so much credit to those guys for the challenge that was. But man, it was a really strange game to play, just seeing all those guys that I just coached, and a lot of those guys I love and spent a lot of time with, and wanting to go out and beat them. Yet at the same time, it's, you know, we ended up winning, which I'm really thankful for. You know, my heart breaks for the kids on that other side, because it's like, I know how much work those guys put in. I also know how much work our guys put into it. There was some bittersweet moments to that whole win, but I was glad we were the team that was walking out on the other side and still having an opportunity to go play.
And then unfortunately your season comes to a close in Tennessee there. What am I talking about? Kentucky. Good grief. Chris Oliver's going to have my head.
That much.
Oof. Don't let Chris Oliver hear you say that.
I might.
A 31-21 loss there, where that Georgetown defense came with intention of making Xander taste their turf with four sacks there. And Darius Neal just goes off with a buck 32. Talk to me about you know, that game and ending your season that way.
That was a tough way to end it. I don't feel like we walked away and said, "Oh man, that team just came out and flat out beat us." I think when we watched the film, there's a lot of opportunities that we had that we did not take advantage of, which was unfortunate, because had we taken advantage of some of those, you can never predict that you're going to win a game, but certainly we would have had a much better opportunity to win that game. And, you know, frankly, you look at the last like few minutes in that second quarter, walking into halftime, when, you know, it's back and forth the whole game, the whole first half. And then we just friggin' blew it in those last couple minutes, honestly. But what I was proud of our team, again, it's just like they got all the momentum in the world. The score, they're up big at this point. And then our guys came back and they just battled and battled and battled and battled. And I think, you know, we got a couple more minutes in the game. You know, maybe we can pull it out. Maybe we can't. We just kind of ran out of time, which is unfortunate. But, yeah, that running back is – the kid was – he was really, really good. They rode him hard that game. And I really – I mean, he had 100-some yards or whatever, but I really think our guys played well. And for the capability and the quality of back he is, I thought our guys held him down pretty well in a lot of ways. So – but either way, it's – it's a loss, and we're going home after that game, and we're done playing. And I don't, still a little bit frustrated about it.
Yeah, on a per rush basis, I mean, the difference between Williams and Neal there is a tenth of a yard per carry. I mean, it's you know, for two teams that like to stop the run, you know, that's you feed the guy the ball 30 times, you know. You're going to grind out hard yards, but at what cost? And they found a way there, like you said, into the second quarter. But let's look at something a little hopefully happier, which is what you got coming back.
I've moved on from the season barely, but I've just moved on. So looking forward to the future.
I hear that on offense, you got to replace two big pieces, that being your quarterback, Xander Stokes, who's, you know, been around for a few years around IWU, and Da'Darian Williams at the running back position. You got Levi Tidwell coming back for one last ride, but, you know, you got to make sure you got to get it to him first.
Yeah, you know, losing Xander, really, we lose a lot of experience, and there's just a calmness that he brought. And just a poise that he brought to our team that we really appreciated and needed, especially as, you know, things were a little bit, there were some rocky moments on offense this last fall. So he was able to kind of to help weather that storm with confidence, weather those storms with confidence, which we needed at the time. But, you know, so we'll miss that part of him. Although I think we've got a crew of guys that's coming back that's really going to compete. And I'm excited about, you know, what's in that room and what's coming in the future. Cause I think we've got a bright future in that room and, you know, but we've got no experience. So that's always the challenge. And then losing Tay, you know, that one hurts. You know, he's a fantastic football player. He was a home run hitter. I think we're a much deeper running back room, coming back. Cause we had a lot of young guys that just weren't quite ready to play. So those guys have started to grow up, and especially as we're getting into spring ball now, you can see some of the maturity, the lifting, their bodies are changing. So those guys are growing up a lot because they have to. It'll be a much deeper room. I don't think we'll have the same kind of talent as a guy like Tay, but I think there'll be a lot more shoulders to carry the load than all of it just sitting on Tay's back.
How odd is that, or how do you work with, I know Xander, you know, God bless him. You know, he had four rushing touchdowns, but I mean, he was a throw, you know, he would much rather throw the ball. And I know that you, on the other hand, are much more of a dual threat quarterback guy. How much of coming in and having a quarterback that's already well established, you know, fitting your offense to him versus, you know, being able to have a guy that fits your offense kind of deal. Talk to me about that kind of dynamic.
Well, I think probably every coordinator out there or every coach out there has their ideal offense or defense or their ideal schemes. And it's like, man, if I was in the perfect world, I would run this, but ultimately everything is always driven back to who do you have and what can that person do? And, you know, it really took a couple of those first games to figure out what Xander could do. And then I think as we progressed through the season and really kind of hit our stride, probably after that St. Xavier game, I think we just started to understand a little bit more of what he could do. And so, you know, shame on me as a coordinator for having it take as long as it took. But, you know, it is what it is. And so, the dual threat stuff, that's obviously there's an animal to deal with if you're trying to defend all those pieces. At the same time, there are some things that Xander did really well. And so we just try to build a lot of the offense around him. And guys like Levi and Tay, because those were a lot of the main weapons. And as good as Xander is, it's, you know, he needed to have some of those weapons around him. So really, it was just trying to build things around those guys. And I think as we move forward and the quarterback changes to whoever it's going to change to, there will be a lot more pieces around him that we can hopefully build some more dynamic schemes around that guy.
On the defensive end of things, you've got a defensive line where you've got a couple big names coming back between Caleb Williams and Anthony Cheeseborough. In your linebacking core, you've got two first-team all-conference guys coming back in Mosher and Bays. Now, in your defensive secondary, you've got a lot of bodies back there, but not a lot of guys who have gotten the all-conference recognition. Talk to me about kind of fitting the new pieces into a puzzle that is, for the most part, coming back together pretty completely.
Yeah, and that's, you know, honestly, the strength of our team last year, it was our defense, hands down. I mean, our offense did enough in a lot of games to get some things done, and we had some good games as well, but it was the defense that drove every game in terms of the success of each game. Obviously, I'm a little bit more of an offensive guy, and so I like scoring points. But the reality is, I hope our defense drives the success of this team again. Because if we can do that, and we can add a little more juice on offense, we're going to be a pretty difficult team to play, I think. But really, up front, having Cheese come back, having Caleb Williams come back, having those two guys on the end, and then there's some young guys that we really like that again are just. They're working their way into things, and they're getting better right now. But Robbie Hunter and Antonio on the inside, those guys will be solid. So up front, we feel good about where we're at. And again, it's just continuing to find the depth and the other pieces and all that. And then, that linebacking core is, it's going to be tough. We missed Mosher the second half of the season as he went out with his knee injury, but he'll be back. He'll be ready to go. Luke Bays will be a year better. And then that third linebacker piece, man, there is some fierce competition going on right now in spring ball for that spot. And then you're right. The secondary is there's a lot of new bodies, some new faces back there. Preston Sykes would probably be the leader and the most veteran guy coming back. And although he didn't get all conference last year, I don't think he got all conference last year.
Nope.
Man, that guy is a really, really good football player. And certainly would have been deserving of that award had he gotten it.
Just looking at the stats when I was putting this together, I'm like, how was he not with four picks? I mean, you're right up there with Carson, who was a second teamer. Neil Campbell had six as a first teamer. I'm like going, that's...
I think the issue was he missed like three or four of our conference games.
Oh, criminy.
So I know. So, I mean, it's like, shoot, well, he had four picks and he missed like four games. So,
right.
But he missed those games where a lot of the voting is done within the conference schedule. So I understand why coaches didn't necessarily vote for him. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I understand it. And they're looking at Neil and Jameis as, they're just the veteran guys, the older guys. And so sometimes those guys get a little bit, it's easier to vote for some of those guys than the guy you don't know quite as well, even though he's had a really hot start to the season. But I would imagine he'll be kind of our leading vote getter in the secondary as we move forward into conference voting and stuff like that, assuming he can stay healthy and have a good season.
So, obviously, with the changes in the MSFA, there's had to be some rejiggering of the sides of the conference. And although, you still have to play Marion, you've got them and St. Francis over on the Midwest side of the league.
And St. X.
And St. X. I mean, you know, the mainstays over there. I mean, that's been a very tight side with them, Olivet, and St. Francis. Now there's two St. Francis's in the same side of the league, and I'm not going to screw this up at all. And they're both in states that start with I. Yeah. No, yep. I'm never going to screw this up. No.
No.
Talk about the development of the league itself. And, you know, you're bringing in Defiance, you know, and I think this might serve to kind of maybe rebalance the MSFA a little bit.
I think so. I mean, I think if you were to look at the league, I think people probably would have traditionally said, you know, for the last 5 or 6 or 7 years or so, that the East side was a little bit stronger than the West, in that you've had Indiana Wesleyan, Marion, St. Francis, and Concordia, and then Siena Heights has had some good years in there as well. And then all of a sudden you flip it, and now you've got St. X, which is pretty much the playoff team over there. You've got Marion, St. Francis, St. X over there. St. Francis, Illinois has had some really good seasons lately. Olivet is always a tough team to play in that league. And so you've almost shifted a little bit of the power dynamic by grabbing both St. Francis and Marion and sticking both of those teams over there. So that West side is going to be, that's a bearcat to go win that side of the league. But you know, it's also really not that different because we're still playing all those teams. Right. I mean, I think we're playing all those guys. We've got St. Francis, we've got St. X, we've got Marion, we've got Olivet, and we might have St. Francis, Illinois too. I can't remember. So either way, it's just, the league is an animal. And then, you know, it's still tough over here. I mean, with St. Francis, with Siena Heights, Concordia, Taylor, I do think is getting better. And you know, Defiance is, you know, they're jumping in the league. Who knows what that's going to look like? And then obviously Madonna has made a head coaching change, so we'll see what happens with those guys. And then Lawrence Tech picked up Scott Merchant from Chip Valley, who's been a really, really good high school program for a long time in the Detroit area. So I would imagine he's pulled in a handful of good kids, and so we'll see what happens at Lawrence Tech too.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see. It does nothing but make the league better. In my opinion, yeah, you do lose Roosevelt going to the GLIAC. You know, you lost MoBAP last year. But yes, Marion and St. Francis did have to go to the Midwest geographically. That made the most sense, ? I mean, it did, you look at a map, but it is what it is. It's going to end up making it, like you said, a bearcat. So, you know,
we'll see what happens. If you can make it out of this league and you're the top team or one of the top two teams, right, you've played a schedule that's hard enough to prepare you for the playoffs. I know that.
Absolutely. Well, one thing I know for sure is that, you know, if you're not constantly striving to get better and to better yourself, you know, it doesn't matter what area it is. It's, you know, you hear it in football terms as the Mickey Andrews be 2% better every day. But it's not just a football thing. It's anywhere you are. If you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. So what area of your program, whether it be on or off the field, are y'all really looking to focus on in this upcoming year?
You know, I don't know if there's a specific, like, hey, this is the only, I mean, this is the one major area. But I think, well, actually, I do know the one area. In the last 6 weeks, I've had to hire like 5 coaches. And out of the 9 coaches that we'll have, only 2 of them will be returning in the same role that we had this last fall. So the number one area right now for me is just building the coaching staff, getting us on the same page, and getting us to play, you know, Wildcat football and play it the way that we want to play, both from a technique, a schematic, from a technique standpoint, a schematic standpoint, and just kind of a culture and toughness and speed standpoint. So that's the first main priority for me, really in these next 5 weeks, in preparation for getting ready for the summer. And I think once we get through this, I'll have a better idea of just who we are as a staff, and who we are as a team, and what we need to do in May, June, July to get ready for August. But strength and conditioning, that's a huge one for us. I didn't feel like we were a team that could physically go out and dominate people. I felt like we were fast. We just couldn't physically dominate people last year. So that was a point of emphasis, and just in terms of our strength numbers, our physical size, just trying to improve in some of those areas specifically over the last 7 to 8 weeks. And then obviously for the next 3 or 4 months, getting ready for August.
I know I'm definitely, you know, flag is nice. I get that. I get to scratch the football itch with flag, but I am really looking forward to seeing some hitting come August. You know, it's we're going to get into July, and I'm just going to be hankering. I'm going to have had, you know, a couple months without flag by that point. You know, the Hall of Fame game is going to come on. It's going to be a terrible game, but it's going to be the only football that's been on for a month.
Yeah.
And then it won't be long until we get some hitting.
I know. We were in pads for the first time today in spring ball, and it felt really, really good.
Yeah, I just to hear that again, it's a lovely sound, isn't it, where you get the pads on for the first time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep, it was awesome. Just got a couple more left over the next 4 weeks here, and just got a lot of things to grow at.
So we thank you for coming on the NAIF Ball Podcast tonight, and we look forward to seeing what's coming in 2024.
Cool. Thanks, Corey.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. Thanks also to our newest sponsor, Telemetry Sports. If you enjoyed the show, subscribe to the podcast and to our YouTube channel, and leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFball and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.